There are a number of such stories in the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. Think of Isaac, Samson, Samuel, and of course the Annunciation to Elizabeth about her son, who we call John the Baptist. Often these stories are of older couples who have finally been granted a child in their old age, or barren women whose prayers for a child have at last been answered. But today's Annunciation is different. This day we hear of a young woman without a husband being visited by an angel who bears good news of fearsome potential. In this Annunciation, God begins his plan to save humanity by entering the world as flesh. And Mary's freely given acceptance brings humanity into the effort of saving the world, saving itself. God's whole plan of salvation is, in fact, an ongoing Annunciation. Hear again the words of our gospel. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Barbara Graham Taylor says that Mary had a choice to make, a word to speak in response to the angel's message. That choice was whether to say yes or no, whether to take hold of the unknown life the angel held out to her, or whether to defend herself against it however she could. Taylor says we have similar choices in our own lives. And like Mary, our choices often boil down to yes or no. Yes, I will live the life being held out to me, or no, I will not. Yes, I will explore this unexpected turn of events, or no, I will not. You can say no to your life, Taylor says, but you can rest assured that no angels will trouble you ever again. Do you agree? I'm actually not sure I agree with that last part. I don't think God ever gives up entirely. I think every time we close a door in God's face, he builds a rec room and adds another entrance. But I do agree that we are always constantly being given the opportunity to say yes to God's presence in our lives. Or, as John Kavanaugh puts it, we can agree to smuggle God into the world inside our own body, our own hearts. "Let it be done to me according to your word." And so Mary said yes. Mary, by opening herself to God's care and plan, became the tabernacle of Christ for 9 months. She was the first altar of the incarnational mystery. The angel tells her that the Lord is with her, and literally he is. She is the dwelling place, says Kavanaugh. She is the new ark beyond all reasonable expectations. She is tent and temple. God is literally, physically in her, conceived as a human child, her very flesh great with dignity by the power of the Most High. And she is the temple. She is the greater house, the promise made to David. That is a reference to the Old Testament passage in 2 Samuel, where David, aware of his blessings and the comfort in which he lives, worries that he should build a house for the tabernacle of God. And the prophet Nathan tells David, "Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever." It is Mary, centuries later, that becomes, for a short time, this home for God, as he is enfleshed and enters the the God-bearer, or Theotokos. And some of the most beautiful icons you will ever see are devoted to this theme. In Washington, D.C., the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception is the largest Roman Catholic church in the United States and North America, and it is one of the 10 largest churches in the world. Chip and I went several times with our seminary and on our own to visit and pray in this beautiful place. It is Byzantine Romanesque in style, and it is home to over 70 chapels depicting the countries of origin of American Roman Catholics. And it showcases their representative art about Mary and Jesus. This basilica houses the largest collection of ecclesiastical art in the world. The brilliant mosaics, the stained glass, the statues, all throughout the basilica express the reality that God dwells among us. And many of them depict the Annunciation. To spend a day in this place is to stand in awe at the fragile, ordinary vessel that God chose to literally carry his promise to the world. Mary is often portrayed, looking indigenous to whatever country is depicting her, as fragile and ordinary and very fleshly human. For by all accounts, Mary was ordinary. She was young, obviously faithful and brave, and probably very intelligent. But even so, she was not a princess or a queen or a person of power. Her participation in the Christ story delivers an invitation to a multitude of anybody's and invites each of us, male or female, young or old, to open our own hearts and lives and become Christ bearers to the world. We are able then to carry God's word to a world who is hungry. God's word transforms and terrorizes us. It worries and it widens us. It invites and prods and shames and delights us into writing ourselves into God's story of love. And this day it brings a message of fearsome hope that we too can become tabernacles of Christ's love and bear his message of justice and peace into a chaotic and desperate world. Today's gospel is a call and response with God. God's creation cries out in joy, "Nothing is impossible with God." And the faithful respond with awe